Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome Mr. Matt Katzer. He is the founder, CEO, and owner of Camden IT, one of the top cybersecurity firms out on the West Coast. In fact, they were named, I think, one of the top 5,000 companies here in the U.S. and worldwide. Matt, thanks for joining our show this afternoon.
Glad to be here, Robbie.
Yeah, Matt, I know we've had you as a guest before on previous podcasts, but can you kind of refresh our audience more about your background and how you started Camden IT and what Camden IT is all about these days?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I really have enjoyed being on your podcast, and it's interesting, too, to see how things have changed in the marketplace and everything else. I mean, Camden IT, we started as a software development firm way back a number of years ago. And we, in some of our career, folks, even myself, I was involved in different activities with NSA in terms of some of the products that I work with Intel and some other entities. And I always had this desire to, you know, solve problems and just help clients and everything else come up with innovative ways that they can actually grow your business. And that's really the foundation of Camden IT. It's about how to make our customers and clients more innovative so they can be more successful in the market.
Okay, excellent. Now let's go and get into the meat of our show. It's about training cybersecurity teams. You know, this year has been a very up and down year with everybody with what's been going on with the pandemic. But I think one thing that we're starting to realize is how much we really need our IT security teams. You know, there's a lot of issues that go with it. You know, there's a lack of the, you know, cybersecurity workers. There's a gap that needs to be filled. And, you know, people are having a hard time getting these roles filled. You know, cybersecurity teams are overtaxed, overburdened, so forth. Can you give us some statistics into actual all of this and actually all of this kind of stuff? Because, I mean, we keep hearing about it, but can you put some numbers behind it, please?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole cybersecurity in terms of what's going on in the market is really, really – it's really, really serious. I mean, if you look in terms of what's going on right now in terms of the challenges of the workforce, I mean, even for ourselves, there's about 300,000 unfilled cybersecurity jobs in the U.S. alone. And it keeps on growing as demands grows and everything else. And then if you look at what's going on inside the companies, and this is small companies and big companies and are a lot of not-for-profits that we deal with, is that basically there's a lot of fear of not just external threats, but internal threats. And when you look at things about internal threats, it's kind of interesting because it's about people doing, sometimes people will do malicious things with internal threats, but a lot of times it's people just do dumb things and even ourselves to do things like that. And if you go on and look at some of the other things that has happened, like in terms of what's going on in the market in terms of ransomware, it's a drastic increase. It's like a 350% increase over where it was a few years ago. And it's just getting worse. And it's really, as you look at some of the other things that are happening and what's going on in the marketplace is that, you know, it's like 85% of employees are really not engaged or actively disengaged at work. And especially with this COVID, because we now have the work from home model, which all our businesses are doing, and you really start seeing the productivity changes. What happened when the people were in the business and basically had a constant, you know, had the right processes and everything else? What happens when people work in out of the environment and how you actually manage that whole thing? But all in all, it's a, and the core crux of when you look at all of the stuff, it all comes around to what is the cybersecurity strategy for the business and how do you actually instrument in such a way to protect the business assets? And it's a real serious problem.
Sure. Now, how can a cybersecurity team get the skills they need but grow them? I mean, are certs the best way to do that or have a company pay for it? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, the whole thing about cybersecurity skills is a really serious one because what happens is that when you actually go and like even ourselves, when we hire people for our SOC, we actually look for skill sets. We look for capabilities and want to make sure you have the, you know, the basic capabilities in place, and so that you can understand the threats and understand what's going on and know how to tell them and know how to tell some of the fundamental things you need to do, be it from your you know, coming from a Linux environment or Windows environments, and basically how to actually do queries against the threats. But the problem that you run into, and this is a really serious problem, is how do you actually keep the skills in check? And how do you actually make sure that you are constantly grooming and growing your team? And it's a problem that we all face, because what happens to all of us is that when you become really good at something, you suddenly get to the point that you start cutting your corners, you're not following your checklist because you think you've done it so many times before, and you get really complacent. But you look at this whole thing about why it's important to basically train skills and everything else, is that you have to constantly train the skills and upgrade them. You know, so what we do, you know, in this aspect is that we look for a couple of things. We want to try to make sure that, you know, our cybersecurity professionals have, you know, a certain set of skill sets and a certain set of qualifications that they have in terms of what, in terms of industry certs and everything else. So they have the basic pieces in place. And then we also want to do is that we put training programs in place so we can actually grow those skill sets, and so they can improve as the market and as the bad actors improving too. Because, you know, bad actors are doing the same thing. They're growing their skill sets and finding new and improved way and sneakier ways to basically attack organizations. And it's all for money.
Okay. Now, obviously, you know, cybersecurity training, especially right now, that's one of the biggest buzzwords that's being bandied about right now in these headlines. Now, obviously, every company and every employee needs some kind of training. But what are those specific industries that can benefit especially from cybersecurity training?
Yeah, and that's a really good question. And there's really two classes of training that you need to look at. You know, you have all of us, it doesn't matter what industry you need to do, need to go through a certain amount of cybersecurity training of how to recognize phishing emails, things about doing good hygiene. Those are basically fundamental skills or fundamental cyber skills that we all have to have. I mean, all organizations, it doesn't matter from your administration, your administration assistants, you know, your sales folks and everything else, need to understand basic cyber hygiene. And that's a training that we all need to have. Now, there's a second class of training, and which is what we're talking about. I think that's what you're alluding to, is that what type of additional training that we put on top of that for our cybersecurity professionals so we can actually grow their skills. And that's really, really, really important, because now you look at organizations that have either your small company and you outsource your cybersecurity to a third-party SOC. And now that SOC actually, or those folks in that security operations center, need to actually go through a training program to tune and improve their skills. Just like if you're an organization that has your own security operations center. And what happens in companies as businesses grow, you really have a segmentation of traditional IT falls into the traditional IT help desk and service desk, and a separate part of the business develops in those, and that's called where the security operations center is. Now, just like in the IT side, we go through and you train about how the latest version of Windows or the new Office 365 features or whatever, you also have the same issues on the security operations center side. You have to train them with in terms of the new standards for what's going down for the National Institute of Standards for NIST when they come out in a new cyber defense analyst roles, for instance, or what happens when a new threat is basically used in the market. What type of simulation tools do you actually need to actually train your team on? And that's what really needs to happen. So you have this overall need across the industry. So any organization that has their own security operations center or the security team has to basically have a separate security training program for those professionals. And when you start looking at industries and everything else, and industry segments, for example, anybody that has a compliance requirement now, regardless if you're, you know, dealing with the New York Shield law, if you have medical, financial, your government contractors, those have to have there's cyber requirements specifications, those certifications that you required to have for the different areas, just like there is requirements in terms of cyber hygiene and what the states are requiring, such as in like California under CCPA or New York under SHIELD or Arizona in terms of their cyber act. But those are the things. And of course, you know, the other aspect you have is as since there's such a lack of, you know, cyber jobs, unfilled cyber jobs in the U.S. alone, what happens is the education, doesn't matter if it's Angela being the high schools or the colleges and the university, they have to actually go through and say, how do I actually develop a cybersecurity training, a simulation training, that I can actually evolve these skills and evolve them because they constantly change. And keep in mind, I think the difference everyone has, the listeners have to understand is that this is not like the old days when I pick up a mathematics book and I learn how to do calculus or differential equations and or do volumetric calculations where it's just a constant idea. Today it's an evolving thing. This is a constant learning challenge. And that's the people that we really need to look at. And the industries have to basically adopt that model.
Okay, excellent. Now, Matt, I'm trying to keep your IT security, you know, sharp and on top of their A game is kind of an issue that I've written about in my own blogs. And one area I found that could be important is to offer the use of financial incentives, you know, like maybe giving them a bonus or like it being a Starbucks or Panera Bread gift card, you know, if they, you know, meet certain metrics or what have you. Are there other methods that you can advocate other than maybe financial incentives in order to motivate your team to be, you know, on top of their game?
Yeah, there are. I mean, it's, you know, the classic one from a business owner perspective, it's your job. So, you know, but, you know, I think we're more talking. I'm sorry. It's, you know, it's more your job and everything else. But there's other ways as well.
Okay.
And for example, when you actually run into different cases of, you know, when you're actually looking at trying to keep your team sharp and you're trying to keep your cyber team sharp, it really gets interesting because you start looking at what constitute a good cyber team. And, you know, when you think about it, when you actually look in terms of the resources you have, you know, you have analysts in there, you have implementers, you have defenders that are trying to defend the organizations, and you also have hunters, which basically are trying to research and look at different ways. And so you have to basically train the hunters and the defenders and analysts to keep them sharp and know what they need to do. You need to get to a point that you have a structure and a really process about how you actually are defending your organization, how you actually review the attacks and the initiatives coming in. And it's very similar. It's no different than what you're actually doing in terms of a military structure almost, which when you come think about it, because in essence, that's what a business is. It's defending against threats that are external to your organization. And it's basically trying to use tools to actually stay on top of it. You know, like the tool, for instance, that we use Aries or Cadence, for instance. And in that case, what we do, that's a gamification for cyber professional development. So we now have an ability to actually train and score and measure our team's ability and capabilities and the abilities to actually grow. And that's where you start getting really interesting, you know, you start turning in, you know, the daily activities, and it's almost like a cyber gaming type structure where you are setting up situations where you can actually train hunters and train defenders and train them with what is currently being released in the market.
Okay, excellent. Matt, I just want to add a side question to this. There, with the COVID stuff right now, you know, the IT security teams are now trying to help the IT department. Do you think that there is a definite line of segregation between what the IT department is and what the IT security team is? Should there be a blending of both, or to keep things keep your team, your IT security team, more motivated? Should they just be focused on what they're doing only? Or what are your thoughts on the intermingling of the two departments?
Well, I think there's that's a really, really good question. I mean, you have to look at, there's two functions that exist in the market. The IT department, typically, when you think of traditional IT or the support desk or help desk, they are very there to actually deal with technical issues and help their users and everything else and make sure their servers stay online and make sure the services stay online. That's what they're doing. The security team is a little bit different. They're basically looking at activities and how to actually do protection. Now, when you actually talk about blending, what is the blending of the pieces? This comes down to the tool sets that are being used for the management of the environment. You know, when you look at COVID-19, for instance, you know, we're predominantly, like CAM and IT, we're predominantly using the Microsoft security stack. And we add our, you know, proprietary manager and management tools to it. But what happens in the COVID-19, you suddenly are now pushing out modern security methodology and how you actually protect the user identity out to the individual user in their home office. And those tool sets are being used so that the security team are now basically be able to leverage those type of tools that are basically to manage what's going on into an individual's PC or home PC to make sure that the data asset is being protected. So that's the blending that you're seeing. It's more of a partnership than anything else. It's not like the cyber team says you do it this way and they don't talk to the other side or the IT. It's more of a blending of the two, but it's all based on the technology base that the organization agrees that's going to be best and most effective to protect the company assets. That's the key.
Okay, excellent. Now, what is the importance of keeping your team challenged, literally on a 24/7/365 basis?
Well, you know, think of yourself and everything else. I alluded to this earlier, but what happens to all of us is that as people get highly skilled and highly knowledgeable in certain activities, what happens is that, yeah, you can detect things and know things and everything else, but there's a certain complacency that happens. And even in our environment, when we look at things, we have processes in place to try to affect how you actually deal with complacency. And that's, you start mixing up different roles and you have different eyes looking things, because I mean we're all human. We all have a different unique perspective on things, and how you would look at a particular problem, you'll have a set of solutions. I would look at a particular problem with a different set of solutions. They may be similar, they cross over in some ways. But what happens is that when you actually blend the two together, you're seeing where we actually are missing parts of it. So it's very important. And that missing of the part is what happens when you have complacency. You start looking at everything through your own rose-colored glasses, and you see just that. Now, when you look at trying to figure out how to actually manage like a cyber team and how the cyber rate experience, you now have to figure out, okay, how do I take this particular individual who's looking at the world from a set of rose-colored glasses and see what they're used to see, and how do I expose them to make them think about what's going on? And that's where you start running into really true cybersecurity simulation training tools. And that's how you actually get them to look beyond the scope and not to imagine what could happen versus accepting what has happened.
Okay. Now, how do you train your IT security team to look for all kinds of scenarios other than the ones that you just mentioned?
What we do at CAM and IT, what we do in our team, we use we use Project Aries from Circadence, and there's a bunch of great videos on our website at www.camin.com, Project Aries. But what we do specifically is that we actually turn security training. This is actually defending servers, knowing how to actually VShell into S-shell into a server, how to actually launch different types of attacks. We actually train them in a security simulation tool. And on top of it, we gamify it. And we look at the implementation standpoint. We actually score our employees, so that we actually constantly throwing new types of attacks in them, the environment and everything else. And then the second thing we actually do is set up defenders and attackers. This is a so-called red team versus blue team. So we create a simulation environment where we actually will create a, our defenders and say, okay, now go defend, and we'll bring in some, white hack or white hat or basically some of the team itself and be attackers in the organization in a truly simulated environment. And then us we look in terms of how we manage it, then we actually go through and do what if scenarios and change that attack and change the defense that's going on in the organization. And we can do that through the simulation tools. That's how you build the skill sets, because what you're doing is you're trying to figure out getting people out of this complacency mode and getting them into a mode where they can actually say, well, geez, what's happened? What if? And you have three different people. You got a defender that's trying to defend a network. You got an attacker that's trying to break into it. And then you have almost like an umpire that sits in the middle and saying that, okay, what do I need to do to make the attack easier? What do I need to make the defender make sure they have additional loopholes, and let's see what happens. You have to build those environments because you need to get your cyber teams to actually think and constantly look at ways they can actually do improve their skill sets. And that's really the secret of cyber training that you have to do nowadays.
Yeah, excellent. Now, Matt, could you elaborate a little bit more on these testing scenarios, especially on the penetration testing, threat hunting, or really it all comes down to the red team versus the blue team scenarios. Could you please expand a little bit more on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you get right back into – those are really good questions. And if you get right back into a a whole cyber training environment and how to protect an organization, penetration testing, it's something that you should have. You should basically be constantly doing this. This is no longer you do it once a year and, dust off and throw the report in the bookcase. You have to actually have a strategy where you constantly do this all the time because things change. Penetration testing is about looking for loopholes. And there's good penetration testers, and there's basically what I call penetration testers that literally just go through and enumerate the ports. Now, the ones that enumerate the ports, there's plenty of those things. You can get a lot of them free on the web. They're literally easy to use. They tell you kind of all the what ports are open to your network and things like that. And some people say that's penetration testing. The type of penetration testing that we really use today are the ones that will go do a discovery against what devices are actually on your network. And you can do an internal and you can do an external penetration testing. And what you're doing is that you're trying to figure out the devices. Then you actually, once you got the devices, then you go through and say, okay, let's go look all the CVEs. What have the NIST and the government actually count out as breaches into environment? And now you start applying all those tools, all those breaches, that methodology used to break into all those network devices, and you start applying that and see what happens. That's the new penetration testing. That's a penetration testing model you should have, because that tells you what devices are there. Are your firewalls out of update? Has the IT department kept the firewalls intact? What about the network devices that you've seen, or your switches? Do they have generic addresses put on? What type of other information? That's what you get when you actually do these more of the modern penetration testing. Now, the other aspect of it, because what penetration testing does, it gives you a baseline of an environment, and then you go remediate, make sure it's implemented. Now, what we actually take and add to that, it's actually threat hunting. Now, threat hunting is very interesting. You have active persistent threats and APTs and everything else, because you have to keep in mind that in an environment, when there is when a network's been penetrated, and it's gotten better over the years, but it used to be up to 270 days before the before the environment was detected. And you've seen later, more and more breaches are being announced and everything else, because the detection algorithms are basically being brought more to light because they're being detected sooner. And that's the goal. And what really that's all about threat hunting. So when you actually go through and look at an environment, you're now collecting information. You're collecting information about the logs, and you're basically being able to do queries against a log. And that's where your SIM and you SOAR technologies that, and SIM is this is your security incident event manager, for instance, and your SOAR is your security orchestration, automation, and remediation tools. You start using those tools in your threat hunting to basically figure out, okay, what's happening in the environment, looking through the logs and building an active defense against, either make sure there wasn't a penetration, or if there was, build an active defense, make sure it doesn't happen again. And that's what you take that information and you take that in terms of, the pen testing, the threat hunting, and that's where the cyber simulation tools come in, like the one Project Ares, for instance, is now we can actually go take those and put those into a simulation environment and use them to basically train our folks about how to do a better job and how to hunt for threat. And then you actually put those combination of those pieces, then you get this whole thing of red team, blue team, where you actually are now gamification and training people how to defend things and how to attack. And you swap attacker roles with defender roles because you want to cross-train skills, but you want to build all this information, you want to build and keep people current, and you want to train their skill sets. And you want to teach them so they understand, they can see patterns of behavior, and they can see patterns of attacks.
Okay, excellent. Now that kind of leads to the next question, Matt, is how do you predict patterns like, threat profiles, threat vectors better? Now, in this regard, I think AI could be a very good tool that could be used along with machine learning. What are your thoughts on artificial intelligence and machine learning? And what else could you answer into that question, please?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, when you look at what we do, and you look at artificial intelligence, machine learning, the tools we use the Microsoft tools, Microsoft Sentinel, for instance, it is AI-based. It is a machine learning infrastructure. That's what you're deploying nowadays. So when you talk about collecting data and everything else through a SIM, that's your security incident event manager, for instance. The orchestration analysis of that and the automation remediation, that's the AI tool. That ends up being the core technology of an organization to use on how to actually protect a company. And even in you start looking at that as it goes in terms of the, cybersecurity training tools that we use, for instance, the Circadence, Project Ares, what we're doing there is basically taking one step further. We're now basically putting you in an Azure-based AI environment where you actually go through and you actually are testing and testing against the various, the attacks are going in place. You're using those AI tools. You're using that machine learning to hone your skills. Because as much as you look at a lot of things, machine learning AI is good for some things, but you still need humans in this cycle to basically look and see the what-if scenarios and see what's going on in the environment so they can extract out. I mean, that's what we're good for. Well, the problem we have is as beings is that when we look at information, we make an information overload. So we want to try to reduce those down so we can actually make decisions. And really the whole secret of everything is how do you actually do those things? And then you run into this, as you kind of put those environments, you do the threat hunting, threat analysis, how do you actually tell that you're doing better than you did yesterday? Well, you can actually measure yourself against teammates. That's one way to do it. But the best measurement to tell on anyone if you're improving is measure against yourself. How do you do yesterday? How are you doing today? Did you make force? So that incremental change that you go through on a daily basis, that's how you actually improve the skills. And you need tools like the Project Ares, when we talk about gamification of cybersecurity, for instance, it gives you discrete measurement points so you can show how you have improved over time. And actually gives you an idea of how to actually keep yourself to able to predict patterns better. And because you can't know everything. And you have to keep in mind that there's folks that are book smart, but you have to basically experience the attack to learn from the attack and basically gauge yourself as you go forward. And that's really the key thing of it.
Yeah, excellent. Now, Matt, let's get back into the concept of gamification in Aries Circadence. Could you expand a little bit more on what Aries Circadence is to our audience, and how do you make gamification fun? I mean, I know there are metrics involved with it, but there's also a psychological factor, you know, with metrics being involved, people can get nervous. If they don't make the cut, they're going to feel awful, that they're going to lose their job. How do you balance these technical and psychological issues as well, too?
Well, I mean, those are really good questions. I mean, one of the things that we do when we actually hire security folks, for instance, we actually put them through like a Project Aries a data collection phase and see what their skills are so we can baseline people that's coming into an organization. You know, and that's kind of how we do our filter to make sure, because, you know, you have folks and you have put stuff on their resume. You try to do your best to make sure they're vetted and everything else. But then again, sometimes you just don't know and you have to have a baseline. So everyone that we look at and we actually be using like Project Aries in twofold. One is to actually baseline new employees in the organization. Now, once we baseline employees, if you look at any type of company that you have, you start looking in terms of what's the culture of the company. And the culture of a company is really super important when you look at cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is about learning and growing and improving. So you're always going to be advancing. You're always going to end up taking and developing new skills. And there's two ways when you look at tools like Project Aries. We use Project Aries as a training tool to help employees grow and give them exposure into new things. So it's not like it's not something that, well, you did bad. It's more saying that, okay, that's what you got in the score. So how do we work together to actually get you to the next level? That's how you actually use tools of Project Aries. So Project Aries is, for your readers that, you know, you can go to our website, www.camin.com/Project Aries, for instance, and you can actually see some of the videos and what it is. But it really comes down to how do you actually build a simulation environment where the cybersecurity professional can actually test and improve their skill set and keep on top of what the cutting edge is. And how do you actually add fun into it? And the best way to add fun into it is you gamify it and one of the gamifies, for instance, that we do is you can measure against your fellow teammates to see how you're doing. But one of the cool things that we do is we do red team versus blue team attacks in a cybersecurity simulation environment. That way it ends up being more of a team building effort about how you can actually grow the organization and how you teach the organization. And that's really the key. You have to, any time today, and especially in the cybersecurity world that we're in today in terms of the needs and everything else and the threats, you have to constantly learn. Now, let's step back in a second saying what's happened to are the bad actors. You know, they're not sitting by. They use these tools too. They're trying to figure out how to improve their skills, because when they go breach an organization, when they go get like a ransomware, like Canon, for instance, got hit with a ransomware just recently, and they're basically constantly looking at ways to generate more revenue. They're highly motivated. And that's what happened. And the only way you can defend against this is that you have to have a motivated staff that's willing to learn and willing to basically improve the organization defenses. And Project Aries and the cybersecurity simulation training that it provides gives us that tool set that we can basically grow our employees so they can be more successful in terms of defending our companies. And also basically making sure we protect the business assets so the business can grow.
Okay, excellent, Matt. Now, as we wrap up our show, do you have any final thoughts for our audience on keeping their IT security team sharp and up to their A game?
Yeah, I mean, that's really a good question. I mean, what we've did, we looked for a number of years of the tools we needed to keep, the how to actually test and how to motivate and drive our employees. And so what we did is we basically in this doing this Project Ares, for instance, was a key component, and it's a key strategic component for in terms of our business. And what we've done is that you have to do those type of things. You have to basically build the necessary tools to basically get the company to the next level and defend it. That's what we've done with the cybersecurity. Now, what happens is that any organization you have, if you're using a third-party SOC, for instance, such as we offer service, Camden offer services, or you have your own, you have to deploy a tool like this to train and maintain your skill set and grow your team. And that's really the key thing. And, you know, you get to the pieces on it, and it's kind of interesting, because when you really look at what's going on in terms of whole cybersecurity environment, it's basically, it's lack of a better way to look at it. There's a big war out there, and there's all these little battles that we're constantly fighting. And the battle is, like, for instance, I'm trying to make sure that my business is being defended, or my client's business is being defended. Those are little skirmishes and things you do. Now, those seems like, why would you bring like military terms or things like that? But that's in essence what it is. Because this is the type of environment that we exist in today, and it's for businesses to grow and for us to be protected as a community and also as a culture. We have to do these things, and we have to do these things to basically grow. And we find, like with Project Ares, it's one of the first tools that we came across that basically gives us the ability to actually measure and grow our team. And for that, we can be successful in those things.
Excellent. Matt, what's the best way for potential clients or anybody who's interested in this kind of stuff, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, the best way is for us is that you go to our website at www.camden.com, go select the Project Ares, and there's a request for a schedule an appointment. You can actually go to our site and schedule an appointment. You can go to our website and basically take a contact form. And, yeah, just enter your information and we'll contact you and provide you more information about, you know, some of the tools and capabilities that you have. And if you're rolling some of your own things and have interest about, you know, the Microsoft security stack, we can provide you a lot of that information as well. You know, I authored a number of books on Office 365. One of them is Securing Office 365 through APress. That's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and through a lot of resellers and everything across the world.
Okay, excellent. Matt, we thank you for your time this afternoon and have a great weekend. We look forward to having you again on future shows.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. And, you know, let's go out and play with Project Ares. That's the way we really want to grow in the cyber world.
We will. Thanks, Matt.